right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blind Side Blitz. I am Jim McFean, of course, right there in the studio with Mr. Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back yet for another one. Buckle your chin straps, because we're going straight into the hole here. We're blasting through. We're gonna be talking about some big time moves. We're gonna be talking about some
make your dreams come true.
That's right, Jim. We're gonna make our dreams come true. We're fired up here. Hope you guys are too. Listen, we're gonna be talking also about our dark horse teams for this upcoming season. We got a couple each, and we will unveil that momentarily. But before we do, we want to encourage you guys out there to become part of the Blitz Nation. Head over to Grumblings Media on YouTube. Make sure you hit that subscribe button while you're there. Hit the thumbs up because, believe it or not, hitting the thumbs up does wake YouTube up in a sense. It says, hey, algorithm, we're getting a thumbs up. People kind of like us, so why don't you
winners don't use drugs. A little bit.
So yeah, don't forget exactly. To share it as well.
That's right. Thumbs up, comment, share, all that good stuff. That's right. Not exactly in all that order, but do it. All right. So, Joe, recently we heard now from Rich Cimini. He's a Jets reporter close to the team. He knows them better than anybody, but he had talked to the head coach, Aaron Glenn, about the running back room because, you know, we see that team and what's their strength, what they even had, I think, you know, for them even a bit last year. Defense, obviously, but then on the offensive side of the ball, the kind of three-headed monster that they have, or, you know, three-headed backs that they have there in Braylon Allen, Davis, and Breece Hall. And he expected to do some of the same, and he really likes those other guys. But Breece Hall, again, I think he's a really electric player. He's got to be their starter. People have talked about, you know, and it was Rich Cimini that said, hey, you know, well, if we see the Jets aren't making the playoffs, they're not playoff bound this upcoming season.
Yeah.
Potentially, do we see the Jets trading Breece Hall, you know, on his last year of his deal in 2026? So do we see a trade? Because, again, he's been fairly productive when he's out there, but, you know, first season only started 7 games, but hasn't really had the backfield to himself. He shared it with Dalvin Cook before, and even the last 2 seasons only had 60% or 60 – last year was 67% of, you know, the plays being on there. So splitting time all together, but when he's out there, you obviously could probably tell too – he just looks way explosive and makes moves, and not only in the running game, but on the passing game. And Justin Fields has brought that up already, you know, with them and their chemistry in camp, that he likes his hands, he likes everything about him, and working along with him. So it would be intriguing if they do decide to move on from him after this.
Yeah, I mean, he's a playmaker. I mean, that's the bottom line. Like, Breece Hall, when he was getting drafted from Iowa State, a lot of people wanted Breece Hall. A lot of people already had the epiphany of what he could end up becoming at the NFL level. That kind of every down back, the guy that can do it all. He can block. He can catch out of the backfield. He can run in, outside of the tackles. So this dude is special. Like, that's the bottom line with him. He's very special running back for the Jets. I have a hard time believing that the Jets would even consider moving on from Breece Hall, even though his contract is ending and they need to re-up and they need to renegotiate and all that, give him a new deal. Yeah, you're going to have to give him a substantial raise, there's no doubt. But when you have a running back like Breece Hall that is a very special player in the running game, but also – so much more than that. He's a receiving threat. You know, he is what every team wished they had at that running back position. Mm-hmm. You know, you think of all these great running backs that have played the game before. Like, think of Nick Chubb in his prime for Cleveland. Mm-hmm. He was the backbone of the offense, and rightfully so. The guy was another special, you know, running back. Breece Hall's the same kind of guy. Not the same player like Nick Chubb, but I'm just saying, like, he's that kind of, like, elitist of the running back groups, and he's very special. Now, you can criticize all you want. He does get injured a lot, and that's the thing. That's where, like, Saquon Barkley, he's not as good as Barkley, but he's a really good player. But it's eerily similar, the amount of injuries that have piled up for Breece Hall at a young stage, like Saquon Barkley did. And it, you know, we've seen what the Giants decided to do. They didn't want to pay the big, you know, top-end money for Saquon Barkley to stay with the Giants, and he found that elsewhere. So they decided to move on from him. Now they're trying to find, hopefully they found a guy like Cam Scataboo, you know what I mean, or something, or and obviously Tyrone Tracy, who's been miraculous last season in his rookie season there. Cam Scataboo might be able to add to that, to where, all right, you know, we're not really feeling the ill effects of Barkley leaving anymore. So with Breece Hall, though, if that was to happen for the Jets, they have talent behind him to where you can look at it two different ways. Like, all right, well, we don't want to pay high end money to keep Breece Hall, but we've seen potential from Braylon Allen. Like, the guy's just an absolute beast of a runner. You know, that they have talent to where they could justify, in a sense, like, well, we don't have to pay him the big money, and he is injured often, so maybe we move on from him and we bring up the next young core to take over. So, but, I mean, we've seen how it played out with Saquon Barkley, right? Like, guy's injured, He has a couple seasons that he's healthy. Really good, he's really a stud. Philly, and in his first year at Philly, stays not just healthy, but could have destroyed, you know, had big-time milestones and etched himself into the Hall of Fame, in a sense, with breaking that all-encumbersome record that from Eric Dickerson. But, you know, does that happen again? Like, if the Jets did decide to, like, say, you know what, we're not going to pay him, he goes in free agency, he goes to, I don't know, Denver Broncos or someone like that, anybody, right? The Chargers that are always looking for running backs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, just anybody that's in need of a running back. And there's no short list of that. So if you can get a guy like this, and if he can stay healthy, we've seen what he can do. I mean, he is a game changer. So I just don't think that the Jets can afford to make a mistake and just kind of let this guy go when he's still in his prime. You sign him long term, and you see what happens with the second contract. Really, that's my only thing. Is like, because you'd hate to give up on a guy who's in his prime like this. You know what he's capable of. You know he can be that playmaker for you in the backfield. But do you really give up on that?
Right. And that's why I'm kind of excited to see what this offense does, because I feel like, yes, he's gotten banged up, but I think some of it was, he was just underutilized as well. I mean, I think some of those plays that he wasn't involved in wasn't even due to injuries exactly. It was just, again, they were trying to, you know, switch it up. We'll put this guy in, we'll put that guy in, kind of mix it around, which I think you're probably going to get a little bit of that too, you know, because, again, we're bringing in one of the assistant coordinators from the Detroit Lions as well, who did work with Ben Johnson. So it could be similar to what they were doing with Jahmyr Gibbs and things, but who knows? But yeah, like you said, he's 24 years old. So to kind of let him walk after this year, I still think you can, I don't think he's going to ask a whole lot. So I don't think it's going to cost you an arm and a leg to keep him to hold on to this and keep it going. Cause I think if you get this strong running game together with these guys, you have something there. You don't just let talent like that go away. And, you know, like him, like I said, being effective in the passing game can only help like a quarterback like Justin Fields, or if you happen to draft somebody next season, a guy that can come out of the backfield and not only run the ball, but then also, you know, be a receiver for you. And like I said, when you talked about people that a lot of teams, you know, that would always want a running back, there's a bunch. Just when we're hearing about this, and this is just an insider saying, I could see this potentially happening. Not even a real rumor, rumor that like all of a sudden it's like, oh, they're looking to trade him. And you're already, I've looked up some of the things, and like already headlines are like, oh, the Saints are tied to this trade amid the trade talk. Or this,
everybody gets tied.
Yeah,
everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't it hilarious? It's like, we just name every team, Joe. You know what I mean? But I think a really interesting team, say like the Dallas Cowboys, they could use a guy like Breece Hall, and I think that would make them that much better if they had him in their backfield to what they are doing right now.
They can't afford him. I mean, they can't even afford the guys that they're going to try to keep. Like, it's going to be very hard for them to do that, let alone for the Jets. They're going to have to – it's going to be a substantial amount. It's not going to be cheap. Like, your second contract, after you've already shown what you can do when you're on the field, it's a big jump. Like, he's not going to be the highest paid running back, but it's going to be up there with a lot of the guys, you know, that are seen as those high-end type of running backs. So just like we see with quarterbacks, just like we see with wide receivers, there's a market. And he's going to have to be paid fairly within the market.
Yeah, and again, hasn't reached 1,000 yards yet. 2 years removed, he had 900 and something. I think I want to say it's like 990 something yards.
So close.
994, 6 yards away from 1,000 yards. But again, that's only at 60% of the snaps.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Just imagine
exactly. And then 600 yards receiving on top of that. Dude does not fumble. So you want to talk about injuries, that's one thing. But this guy does not fumble at all either. You know what I'm saying? So you got to bring him in, and whatever even it might cost. I think you just keep him, hang on to it, and build something here. Don't just say, hey, you know, oh, we had another season, we didn't make the playoffs. Like, well, you brought in Aaron Glenn. You did a reset. You got rid of Aaron Rodgers. You got, you know, rid of these guys. This is your new thing. Build off of this. This guy's young still. You've got talent. Run with it. We've seen this teams be successful with this type of offense before, and it can only help. You know, the Jets down the road. Don't do a Jet move. Just don't be stupid, right? Right? So
exactly.
Yeah, so that's interesting to talk about. You know, we'll see, but we're always going to see some of these guys. That's why last week we talked about players that potentially can be on the move because they're on one-year deals and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that might not be with their teams anymore. So That's the business. You know what I mean? If certain coaches, you know, aren't going to make it, not make the playoffs, teams are not going to be good, they could either be out. They might not even be with the team anymore, even though, you know, they might have signed an extension or whatnot. But, you know, stranger things have happened, Joe. We've seen it a bunch of different times, right?
That's right. That's why we like to talk about the different scenarios of what possibly could happen. Is it good? Is it bad? Or indifferent? But for the Blitz Nation out there, we want to ask you that question. Do you think it's wise for Breece Hall and the Jets to separate and maybe Breece Hall find a new home? Or do you think this is just absolutely, utterly stupid trash journalism and hot take, you know, trying to be like the cool guy on the block saying, oh, I think this could happen, guys. You wait and watch. Want to hear from you guys. Get your opinions
on it. Oh, no! We suck again!
Yeah, the Jets have heard that so many different times. Okay, Joe, so so next up we've got dark horse teams, right? Every year there's somebody that kind of comes out, you know, a little bit of a surprise. We talk about when we do our reviews in the off season, and, you know, when camps come up, you know, like, hey, I could see this team starting to hit or whatnot, you know. And
right,
there's always a team that does, or even whether it be even the quarterback, they hit on the quarterback and they kind of prematurely hit. You know, I mean, look at Washington. Washington, people are just like, yes, even though you like Jaden Daniels and stuff, you did not expect Washington to do what they did. You know what I mean? A lot of people didn't. You know what I'm saying? Because knew the offensive line was weak, defense was struggling, and then they just clicked. They finally just clicked. They got it going. And still, offensive line still was bad, but they got it going, you know, and all on their quarterback. So the difference that franchise quarterback makes with a team, you wonder why so many teams kind of go in on a guy, or they trade away picks to kind of get that guy that they think could change their franchise, just like that. That's what it can do. When you get the guy, it can work miracles just like that. But
100%.
So yeah, every season we have a team that does this or two. Like I said, I just named Washington for one. I think even Houston Texans 2 years ago was that type of a team. But I think this year it's going to be kind of harder for like the AFC because the AFC is so deep in talent wise to kind of gauge off of somebody. And the NFC, that's a really tight division too as well, but kind of on the other side. They're more kind of like I've almost kind of seen the AFC and the NFC in a while. I kind of look at AFC, it's like high flying most of the time, like offenses or whatever. They're kind of like the speed guys. And then I look at like the NFC and they seem to me like a more beat them in the trenches, knock out dirt out, you know, like just grind out games. And I think that's why I think they've been like really tough teams to beat down the road. But so, all right, 2025 dark horse teams. These are teams, if you guys don't really get it still, that again, we don't, nobody's really talking about, you know, hey, nobody's saying, hey, I see this team, you know, taking the division, blah, blah, blah. Kind of up and coming. Maybe all of a sudden they hit a stride and something clicks with them this year. So Joe, what do you got so far? Let's just do a team or so from the, every division or whatever you got here. Just do a couple, but let's start off with the NFC. What do you got here?
So I'm going to start off in the NFC, and I'm going to go with the New York Giants. And I know what some people are thinking. Oh, the Giants suck. They're terrible. What could they possibly do from last year? We all seen what they couldn't do last year. But a lot of it was because they just never had a solid quarterback. A lot of it was because they were still missing pieces. This is a team that when Brian Daboll and Joel Shane took over this and tried to build the front office, rebuild the coaching staff, and then looking at the roster like, man, we don't have much to work with, but we're going to try to make something happen. I mean, look at the 9-7 record that they accomplished with like the likes of Daniel Jones at the helm. Like, yes, he wasn't the best, but you know what? They squeezed every last drop of lemonade out of that lemon. You know, like, it was like they overachieved that year. And then when they did that, everybody across the board, the hype was a huge. It was out there, especially in the city. Like, everybody was thinking, oh, man, I just can't wait till next year because we're going to get double-digit wins. We're going to be pushing for the division. We're going to be maybe possibly going deep into the playoffs. And that was the hype. But that came crashing down. And then when Daniel Jones wasn't working out anymore and they still didn't have enough of the right personnel for Brian Daboll's team to succeed, they are just playing catch-up still. And they get rid of Daniel Jones. You look at what they brought in. We've talked about this before, but Russell Wilson, a consummate veteran who has shown that he can still win in today's game. Jameis Winston, one of the best speech, quarterbacks out there, one of the rah-rah guys that can get you going in the locker room. They bring him in. And then they draft Jackson Dart, which I think is an amazing pick. I think this kid is really going to be the future. I think he has what is needed and required for him to become successful when the time is right. So the foundation has been laid at that quarterback position. They got their guy the future. They got insurance policy with Winston, but they also have Russell Wilson, who can still win games, who is a vet, been there, done that. And you look at the rest of the team and what they've done in the last couple of off seasons, I'll say, that you look at a lot of familiar faces with the wide receivers. You know, that was kind of like a thing where, like, you know, they got Neighbors coming back in his second year, and there's a lot of hype around him, and there should be. But then they also have some guys that they brought back. Darius Slayton understands the offense, knows what he's doing out there. Same thing with Wandell Robinson, who, by all accounts, everybody's raving about him in OTAs and mandatory OTAs and saying how much of a different player he looks on the football field. We'll wait and see. And then you also got Jalin Hyatt, who still hasn't really been given a real legitimate shot to be that deep ball threat guy for them or all-around receiver. So offensive line-wise, they've not only have upgraded in some spots, but they've also brought in a lot of depth. A lot of guys that are former starters from other teams are now penciled in as backups. Probably by the end of training camp, we're going to really see if they win or not, you know, those respectable jobs that they're trying to hunt for. So they brought in competition this year. They have guys that are hungry, that have great leadership capabilities, guys that can get the job done. And then defensively, this was their strength last year. It's just the offense couldn't catch up to them. The defense was always out on the football field. They bring in a couple of veterans, you know, to help out the defensive line. Everybody knows Abdul Carter got drafted this year for the Giants. He's an exceptional pass rusher. He's going to learn from the likes of Brian Burns of how to become a pro at the next level. Great marriage right there. And then the secondary, that was like, it was crazy to see how much they struggled in the secondary last year. None of the younger guys that they brought in from years prior never worked out. Deontay Banks was a, I don't want to say bust because he deserves a couple more years of leeway to really get to see what he can become. But he was a disappointment is what he was. Never showed enough, you know, production to like warrant holding down that starting job.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get another opportunity though. And he's going to have to battle it out against some of these other younger guys that are chomping at the bit. But they also brought in guys like Javon Holland, who's going to lock in that safety spot next to Tyler Newbin, who played admirably well last year as a rookie. And then you bring in Paulson Adebo on the opposite side. So they've done a lot, I feel like. The past couple of off seasons, I know it's the Giants, and last year was terrible, but they've done a lot in terms of building the team and their vision. And now I think with a solid quarterback in Russell Wilson, mm-hmm. this could be a dark horse team.
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of see that too. And like we said, we've talked about, you know, the strength of schedule and all this other stuff. But we also said, again, with last year's team, they were competitive against some of the playoff contending teams, you know, and then it just seems like, you know, mm-hmm. towards the end of the season, they just gave up on a bunch until that big surprise landslide against the Colts that kind of ruined their, you know, kind of draft position, I guess, you know, but they still landed great draft picks, though, still worked the draft well. But again, everybody kind of overlooks Russell Wilson again. You know, it's like, oh, they must see him as trash or whatever. I don't know. But you add Russell Wilson to this team, that instantly makes you better, you know. So
yes.
So, I mean, I think you're definitely – team that you had before, I think you're definitely going to be a lot more competitive here.
Yeah, for a team that didn't have an answer, like Daniel Jones wasn't the guy. Brian Daboll figured that out earlier. Earlier than people even thought he figured it out. Like, he already knew, like, he's like, well, we're kind of like handcuffed to this guy for at least a year or two. And we got to try to make it work. They gave him that new deal and everything. So, but now, you know, now the marriage is done. They got a divorce. It's over with. And now they're looking to move on and moving on in a big way, bringing in Russell Wilson, but also drafting the future. So I am very intrigued for the Giants this season to see just how well they can acclimate and get on the same page. And who knows? They could pull off a pretty surprising season that may land them a wild card berth.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, it's possible with what
possible.
They've done.
Yeah, exactly. So
for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can see that. You know, I can see that, Joe. I like the pick. I like the pick.
Jim, I got it. Now I'm curious to see what's one of your teams that you got as
dark horse. All right, dark horse teams for me, the Arizona Cardinals. We saw them kind of turning on a bit last year. It's going to be Jonathan Gannon's second year as head coach. They kind of popped on the scene a little bit last year, but not a whole lot spoken about them. Marvin Harrison Jr. started off a bit slow, you know, early on, not being consistent with so many yards per game, but started turning on a little bit, you know, get a little bit more targets as he was going. But Trey McBride last year, monster season. And actually, if you look at his PFF grade, he was second best out of all PFF grades in that position at 89.8 last year. So he had a coming out party. So I'm hoping here, and I could see it, that he performs as well as he did. Marvin Harrison does well. And Kyler Murray, if you take away the seasons prior and then the one before that where he was just banged up, You know, those are off seasons. Yeah. But besides that, like last year, he got back to what he does: 20+ touchdowns and 10 to 11 picks. That's who he is. But then running the ball efficiently too, if he had to, but throwing, you know, efficient too as well. But now he's got some good targets here and defense. The addition on defense, we've talked about, you know, Buda Baker won out so many years ago, and now he's sticking around. But now, you know, they go and get some good veterans. They've got Calais Campbell, who's never aging, who gets, is there competing still and still being a veteran and teaching the young guys too as well. Josh Sweat, they bring in.
400 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, Josh Sweat, I like the addition of him as well. And even Dalvin Tomlinson, you know, at that D-tackle situation too. But in the draft, again, Walter Nolan and Will Johnson too. I like where they end up getting those guys too and value where they were. There you go. So that's where they had issues before. Now you've got a good defense. This offense could start ticking again. Last year they were 8-9. I see this year now they could potentially be that playoff team that kind of jumps and kind of surprises people like, whoa, whoa, hey, look at Arizona now. This can be that team that kind of jumps into the NFC and contends.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for the Cardinals, like they were a team that was underappreciated last year, and we were surprised on just how competitive they ended up becoming. Honestly, we never even gave them a chance last year. We thought, well, they're rebuilding. You know, they got Kyler Murray back healthy, but like, there's really not a whole lot around him out there. They had a great run game, we knew that, but the offensive line isn't the greatest. But they played solid. You know, and you know, it was interesting to watch on how many times they were just in the, you know, the with seconds remaining, they were still in games. Sometimes they pulled out a win here and there, and then other times, you know, it didn't go in their favor. But they surprised the hell out of me anyways last year on just how competitive they were. And for them to get a little bit better, that does usually, you know, usually just assume that that's going to lead to success. But it's another new season, and this is a team that, even though they're competitive, and I do think that they could be a one of those teams that pull off a couple of upsets here and there. But again, like, I don't think they're completely ready to make that jump, you know, in terms of being somewhat of a playoff contender. But we'll see. Maybe they can surprise some people yet again this year.
Yep, that's the idea. That's the idea behind the dark horse, Joe. So what's up here? So what's your next team that you got here?
My next team is going to be the Atlanta Falcons. Ooh. And honestly, like, this is going to be one of those teams, I feel like, much like the Arizona Cardinals from last year, where people are just going to overlook them because Michael Penix Jr. is now the starter. And they might overlook him because, like, well, yeah, it's basically his rookie year. And rookies make mistakes. And, you know, you mean all the stigmas about a quarterback taking over for the first time. You know, how well is he going to be infused in this offense? Is he going to have great chemistry coming into this season with all these guys? Like, obviously, he's going to be at practices and they're going to work after practice on chemistry and whatnot. You know, Darnell Mooney, you got, you know, Drake London, you know, Ray McLeod even, who kind of is like the forgotten slot wide receiver for them. But he had a decent year last year too. They have a good core, of guys, you know, especially at the receiving core. Now you got Michael Penix Jr. in there, who's actually pretty, he's like a field general in terms of protecting the football. Like, even in college, like, he did an amazing job of, like, usually not turning the ball over. Had it pretty low numbers, but a lot of touchdowns. And that's what you would like to see in the NFL, for him to continue that trend. He might be able to do that with this team. They're a very young team, and the offensive line is actually a really good offensive line. They've drafted, you know, Matthew Bergeron, who's kind of held it down, but due to injury, he's missed significant time. Same thing with Jake Matthews, the left tackle. Caleb McGarry was back this year, which was awesome for him. So they got everybody healthy now, and now they're building, they're setting up the building blocks for Michael Penix Jr. and the running back that's behind him and Bijan Robinson to work together. I think this is going to be an amazing marriage for them. They're definitely going to compete. They're going to shock some people. They might even surprise some teams that are winning teams from last year. And then the defense has been their Achilles heel. Like, they don't have an answer, you know, for pass rusher. Well, this, they went heavy. You know, they went very aggressive in the draft. Not only did they get Jalen Walker, who's an outside linebacker for them, but also can rush off the edge. They also get the kid from Tennessee, James Pierce Jr., who is an absolute phenom stud pass rusher. This kid already knows a lot of pass rush moves. He's already been trained. He's been a student of the game. And I'm super excited to see what they do with him exactly, because he is a little light in the frame, but man, when you put on the tape with him, it is uncanny what he's been able to do in college. I hope it translates well at the NFL level. And they filled in a lot of voids from last year into this year with bringing in some new free agents. I'm excited for this team. I think the secondary got stronger. It's going to be even better. And then with the new additions and youth movement up front, I got to say, Hotlanta might be the place to be for any kind of young guys. And this team, I think, is going to be a dark horse in the NFC.
Yeah, they could be. But again, it's all weighing on Michael Penix. I mean, because last year, despite, you know, Kirk Cousins and the narrative that's kind of painted about him, but the turnovers and stuff like that, he still won 6 out of 10 games. You know, if you look at the end of this season, you know, Michael Penix Jr. only won 2 games. You know what I mean? So he's still growing, still getting better. They did add talent. And again, they're helping out that defense a bit more, because last year I think their defense ranked like 24th or something around there. So they need to be able to hold down the other scores of the other teams and be able to win. Again, because even the wins that he did get was against the Giants and I think your Raiders, which at that point in time weren't very good teams. So that's what makes them a dark horse, though, again. You know, are they going to learn from this? Are they going to get better? They added talent. They could do.
They already got better.
They're not expected. So we shall see. I'm excited for it. We've already talked about it. We said it in our last show with the on the Football on the No show. We had a bunch of Atlanta fans. They're super psyched about it. We could see the potential. And when that division, we talked about it, that the Saints, they're starting over. You know what I mean? Especially after the news with Derek Carr. And then the Carolina Panthers. So Panthers still are not very good. They've gotten better. They've done some things, you know, but
that's
still,
another,
that could,
I mean,
be, you, maybe they turn it around too. I mean, surprise.
Technically they fit the bill as a dark horse team.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
Bryce Young, he showed some flashes. He showed that he learned something while he was on the sidelines. And mm-hmm. then when he got his opportunity again, he ran with it. So, You saw better play from him. They got another young stud at wide receiver for him to work with. The offensive line, that team is super young, like across mm-hmm. the board. So if they, you know, I would say this, if Bryce Young can yet again take another step forward this year, the Panthers could be, you know, one of those sneaky teams too. Who knows? Maybe the NFC South becomes one of those competitive divisions and not such a laughing stock of weakness.
Laughing stock of weakness. I like it, Joe. So yeah, I mean, that's the epitome of it. For me, I'm going to switch to the AFC side of the ball, and I'm going to pick one of those teams too that's not expected. I'm going with the Indianapolis Colts, because again, I look at that division. It's basically the Texans, you know, division.
And everybody,
you know,
else
to lose it, and then you got everybody else. But we don't know what to expect. Yes, the Tennessee Titans go out and draft, you know, first overall Cam Ward. Is it enough to kind of turn this team out? We saw that defense, you know, play a little better there too. But I don't think so. And I look even at
weapons. They got too many holes
that they have. Exactly. So again, at Jacksonville, they go and get Travis Hunter. We understand that and what they're doing, but still, I think they're building on something. And I think the jury's out on Trevor Lawrence still and all that, and how they are going to connect here too. So I don't think Jacksonville is going to be much of a good team there, but I do look at the Colts And I saw what they were able to kind of do a little bit last year, and I feel they can kind of surprise somebody. I don't think they're like an up and coming, and here they go, but I feel like now, especially with Anthony Richardson, he got benched, you know, whatever, wasn't playing good before, we get it. But now just constantly injured. Now we're hearing he's injured again. So now it's only giving Daniel Jones more reps with this team and with this squad that I just see that Daniel Jones is going to flat out win the starting spot. And I feel he's going to protect the ball, surprisingly enough, I think better than Anthony Richardson has. Anthony Richardson, when he even does start, like, he's brutal. You know, he's got, what, 12 touchdowns total and, what, 11 touchdowns in 2 years and 13 picks. So, again, not looking very good, injury prone, and a guy that's, you know, a pocket kind of guy, but he can take off running a little bit. He's building momentum with these receivers. When you look at these receivers that they had too, surprisingly enough, and maybe some of the names don't jump out to a lot of different people, but, you know, you've got Michael Pittman Jr., Josh Downs, and Alec Pierce. Last year, they all had 800-plus receiving yards apiece. You know, so, I mean, they're out there balling and they're getting the ball spread out. Now I can imagine even what Daniel Jones can kind of do with that team. A healthy Jonathan Taylor, who, again, he even missed some games last year, but had 1,100 yards rushing. And then they've attacked and kind of worked on that defense as well, adding a Travarius Ward, too, on the secondary, Cam Bynum. And they go on the offensive side to switch back to that. Again, Tyler Warren, another kind of all-around tight end receiving. He could block. He could do all kinds of special things for them. I think they could kind of surprise people in that division and kind of make a push a little bit and be like, whoa, look at these guys. Look at DJ, Danny Dimes doing it in Indianapolis for a little bit. Again, I'm not saying Super Bowl. I'm not saying deep playoff run. But I think, again, dark horse, like, whoa. Kind of jump off like I didn't expect that.
The one thing I'll say about the Colts is because even if Anthony Richardson doesn't end up playing this year, it's possible he's out for the whole season because he re-injured the same shoulder from before that he had surgery on. So I don't know the severity of the injury. I know it's pretty serious because they are resting him. They're not allowing him to throw the football. But with Daniel Jones at the helm, I don't think it makes any difference for that offense. He may be able to protect the football a little bit better than Anthony. However, we've seen him with the Giants continue to make the same mistakes over and over and over to where I think he just does the same thing with the Indianapolis Colts. He might show flashes like, oh my God, did you see what Daniel Jones did that first half? And then in the second half, end up giving the game away. So I don't have the confidence in either quarterback, no matter who ends up starting week one, to like be able to not only – I think Daniel Jones may command the offense better because he has more experience, obviously. But I'm not 100% sure he can execute better. I think they're kind of both. They have their own set of problems, but they're very, very close to being the same kind of quarterback in terms of what they can do for an offense. So, I think with Richardson, the reason why they get away with having him at the quarterback position is his mobility. It's kind of like he's the knockoff version of Lamar Jackson. He's just not very good at throwing the football at all, and he doesn't anticipate. But he's got huge size. He's got blazing speed. Like, he can give that to you to where, like, he's almost like just, you know, a poor man's Justin Fields at this point.
Yeah, that's probably a better analogy there.
And I honestly, like, I they've lost some pieces on defense, too. So I'm not 100% sure this team could. I mean, it's possible they could be a dark horse. Maybe they surprise the hell out of people. But for the Colts, man, I think it's going to be pretty much a lot of the same disappointment for this season.
All right, all right. So there you go. There's the dark horse teams. You got any more? If you got one for the AFC, or were you good? Or
honestly, dude, I had a hard time. I looked at the AFC conference, and there's, not, in my opinion, there's not really like there probably is, but there, I just couldn't pick out anybody to be a true dark horse. Like I thought about my Raiders, about possibly being a dark horse, but again, I hate picking my own team for anything because it's like now it makes me think.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you just say that because he's Raiders. Like, I'll just say,
maybe the Raiders, because they are in a very tough division. No one's giving them a chance in that division. I get it. I understand that. Like, it is. It's very tough. You got the Chargers that are getting their shit together. You got the Denver Broncos having one of the best defenses in the NFL that you got to compete against. And then you got the Chiefs. The Chiefs are still Kansas City Chiefs until they get knocked off. So definitely an uphill battle, but maybe they can pull off some steal some wins here and there with now having Geno Smith, you know, at quarterback. That's something that they just didn't have a QB, you know, to lead the team. They tried to Minshew mania. That experiment was god awful, and that just all the decision making that this past year was terrible. So I would just throw them in the hat a little bit, and then
talk about your Raiders quick. I just want to ask you this question, because again, now it's like the headline that's popping out now everywhere. Everybody's got to share the same headline, but the fact that Tom Brady is he passed on Sam Darnold or something, talked about maybe Sam Darnold going to the Raiders, and he said no, I don't want that guy. What's your opinion on that, you know, as a Raiders fan?
For Tom Brady to give his two cents, if you will, and say that he didn't want Sam Darnold for the Raiders, it holds some weight. I mean, this is a guy that he doesn't evaluate quarterbacks, and this is kind of one of my concerns or sticking points is a guy giving advice. Yes, is he a all-time Hall of Fame type of quarterback? Sure. You know, but – and I know he knows the quarterback game better than anybody else, right? Like, the guy studies it. The guy goes through mechanics and how to diet and all that good stuff. But – I guess I've always had a hard time like saying, well, how can he really evaluate the QB position? You know what I mean? Like, he has knowledge of it. I get it all. But talent evaluating is different than just saying, I like the way that guy throws. You know what I mean? Like, but I guess it carries some heavy weight with the front office of Las Vegas, and they definitely took it into consideration, and that's why they didn't pursue Sam Darnold as heavily as anticipated.
Right.
I mean, everybody just assumed like, oh, Raiders are going to be first in line. They're going to sign Sam Darnold when free agency gets here. And we just didn't see that. And then we were like, what's happening? So we get this piece of information later on about how Tom Brady wasn't a huge fan of Sam Darnold. And who knows? Maybe he noticed something that not other GMs notice. And it's information like that you can get from an all-time great that, you know, it plays a part. And who knows? We won't know if it was a bad decision or a good decision. We'll see what he does in Seattle. You know, maybe he can still perform even though he's not with Minnesota anymore.
And I think that's it. I think that's the thing of that maybe even Tom Brady has learned, or he kind of views it, which I think is good for your team. I think it's safe because – yes, Sam Darnold, when was the last time he even did anything? You know what I mean? So he's been a backup kind of going around, and that's what I mean. So he had 1 year that looked good with Minnesota, but I want to see more. You know, so I'm not going to go all in on this guy, give this guy a contract, and then we look stupid again. And, you know, that's what we're doing. Geno, you know, Pete Carroll already knows Geno, and you've seen consistent play year after year with this guy, who was – you know, you're unsure about him with the Jets, showed some life, but then wasn't sure, you know, had some other issues even within the team, you know what I mean, inner fighting. Seems like he's kind of changed his life around, being more religious and things like that. And he's putting the work in because he's getting better every year and he's consistent. So I think they were just like, hey, this guy's a safer bet. Here he has, you know, a good reputation, and he's good with you, Pete. I'm good with that. We should go with this guy. I like it.
Yeah, Geno Smith, honestly, is easily a top 15 quarterback. He's mm-hmm. top half of the league, hands down. Some people might argue he's like bottom top 10, you know, just reaching that. So, very good quarterback. You know, now that the Raiders have him, like, it does make sense, because now that's one thing that they've been missing, the most important position to have, they've been missing. So, they get Geno, and with the talented, you know, weaponry around him, I mean, who knows? They might surprise some people. Ashton Jeanty now in the backfield, that's another hole after, you know, Josh Jacobs left. And they're hoping that not only does Jeanty, you know, prove everyone that he was deserving of the pick, but also that he is the future. So, I'm excited as a Raiders fan, but, you know, cautiously optimistic as usual.
I like it. And that's the way to be, Joe. I mean, that's the way a lot of teams, fans should be with their teams, right? You know, that's what I look at, too. I feel like when I'm a Giants fan, I'm like, yeah, I like what they're doing here, but we'll see. That's what I mean. I'm not overly optimistic. I'm more even pessimistic, right. Maybe things. I'm just not, but I'm not like jump off of a bridge, you know, like, oh, they're going to suck again or this and this. But hey, I see what we're doing. We're making moves. I can, you know, pick up what they're putting down. So.
Yep. There's one other team that just popped into my head for the AFC that it's kind of crazy to think this, but I think the dark horse team, you can't really say Pittsburgh, can you?
I don't think so. They've been a winning franchise, consistently making the playoffs.
Every year they're winning. They have a winning record.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they make the playoffs or not, they always have a winning record.
Right.
But I could say this. I could say Cleveland.
I was thinking Cleveland, too.
And the reason why is it's going to be predicated on who they decide a quarterback. Now, I've heard rumors that they are prepared to keep all four quarterbacks on the roster, by the way, if it comes down to that. They traded for Kenny Pickett. They signed Joe Flacco. They drafted two rookie quarterbacks. And they love what they see from Shador so far. They love what they see from Dillon Gabriel. They like Kenny Pickett. They love Joe Flacco. Like, they like everybody. So, for the first time, I think what's also unique in Cleveland is the fact that they don't just have one guy they can rely on. It's really up for anybody's, you know, chance to win the starting job, like, out of four guys. So, for the first time, they're pretty deep at the position, and bearing on who takes that over, is it Flacco, the veteran? Is it Kenny Pickett, the new addition, or is it one of the rookies? So, bearing that, the Browns could potentially be another dark horse team that everybody's just overlooking because of the lack of quarterback play there.
Yeah.
It's not because their defense. Their defense is pretty stout. You know, their offense is usually pretty good as long as they have quarterback play.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I thought about that too. The defense has been reliable and good. They've been trying to find that quarterback. But, again, they've lost. I'm not in love with their wide receiver room. I could see them being, you know, more of a running type of team. And
they always have been.
They always have been. And it's all predicated on top of how the quarterback plays.
That actually plays into Kevin Stefanski and what he's trying to do. Like, the receivers don't look spectacular, but if you're worried about the run game and now they drop a 10 to 15 yard pass over your head to James Thrash, watch out. Like, the guy's not a big name, but as long as you can catch passes, hey, Tom Brady, he made wide receivers into like all-time New England Patriot greats. You know what I mean? Guys, nobody knew who they were. They were out of nowhere, and he turned them into, like, you know, they were in the ring of fame for New England.
He made Julian Edelman, who was a quarterback that they switched to wide receiver, made him a 1,000-yard receiver.
Exactly. So it's like, it can happen. We'll see. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That's the whole theory, you know?
I'm very intrigued for Cleveland, but again, they're also in another very, very tough division. So,
yep, Yep. All right. So that's it for us this week, Joe. Hope you guys, you know, like the show. And if you did, again, give us a thumbs up. That really helps the algorithm out there. Share the video too on top of it. Share it with all your friends. And also don't forget while you're there, already thumbing up the video and sharing, might as well subscribe too as well. So then that way, you know, hit the notification bell, let you know whenever we go live. And we have a ton of other shows here and podcasts on Grumblings Media, not just ours, but you should watch ours the most because it is the best. But then you can check out the other ones, you know, when you're not doing anything else. So that's fine. But check it out right there. Grumblings Media is the name here on YouTube. So search it, and we will see you guys in the next one.